Hello and welcome to the 13th episode of the TFG1 podcast, recorded April 17th, 2009. I am your host, Michael Blanchard, and today we have a special guest.
Hey, this is Steve slash Megatron of all things Transformers and PredaconEmpire.com.
Yes, Steve is making a second appearance right now for episode 13, so let's get right to it. Today, I am joined by my awesome All Things Transformers co-host, Steve slash Megatron, and we're going to discuss some excellent G1 episodes. So, how you been, Steve?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Actually had a little surprise for the TFG1 listeners this week. On Monday, which is today, we will be releasing, either Monday or Tuesday, depending on when you get the editing done. I decided to interview Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek because I didn't actually know how they came up with This Week in Geek. So Mike and I spent about a little under an hour, discussing a whole bunch of stuff. So that should be out before this episode, actually. See, the really only G1 news is, and normally I don't do news, is that the DVD set is coming out from Shout Factory. They are doing a Season 1 25th anniversary set. And then, in a story that came down the pipe very late on Friday, Shout Factory has also been signed on board to do a complete series later on this summer, as well as a G.I. Joe complete series. Now, the article does not say whether it's G.I. Joe, Sunbow, and Deke, or if it's just the Sunbow series, because apparently Rhino had the rights to G.I. Joe. They lost them before they could fulfill their release schedule, so a lot of those episodes were never released on DVD.
Yeah, I remember I was looking for them, couldn't find it, but yeah, that's awesome news that they're going to have the complete series come out later this summer.
Yep. And I'm going to wait for that. I'm not getting the season one.
No, I'm just going to wait and get the entire complete season box set of G1 yeah. Transformers and G.I. Joe with all the special features, and it says that they're even remastered.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's exactly what I was talking about when it broke news that they were re-releasing season one. I was like, hope they come out with the remastered, and sure as shit, they did.
Yep. Yeah, there really isn't too much else going on. I saw I normally don't do shoutouts, but Gog Dog, one of the hosts of the TFW podcast, he did a little 20-second YouTube thing about purple animated Shockwave is what he used, and he showed off the hip joint. And it's like 20 seconds long. You think it's going to be longer. He just like moves the hip in and out. And he goes, thanks, Derek J. Wyatt. And it just stops.
Nice.
So that was pretty funny. I have been twittering like mad. It is unbelievable how, just besides the fact that it's a social networking tool, it's just a great tool to advertise stuff as well.
Yes, definitely a great networking tool. Plus, if you need customer support done, it's a great place to get it done because they actually take care of you.
yeah, Mr. Comcast over there.
Yes, and they took care of it and they paid my bill, which I didn't expect. They actually called me. The guy from Twitter called me the day before and said that we're gonna get this fixed and had him look into it, and then the tech guy came out while I was at work and fixed it. Then the next day he calls me and says, are your speeds back up where they're supposed to be? Does it work and everything? I says, oh, yeah. And he said, well, just so you know, we're going to take care of your month's bill this month and the amount of and blah, blah, blah. And they paid my entire bill, and I was like, awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't expect that. I was just expecting them to say, okay, your stuff's fixed. There you go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is going on. I mean, we've already really talked about all the future projects, so I'm not going to go into that again. No emails this week. I don't know. I mean, like I said in HETF19, I get a lot of feedback on Twitter and stuff like that. I will most likely be having another co-host with me, another one of our Twitter friends, Pecan CT Michael. He's a huge Transformers fan. He's been to a lot of BotCons, and he has got to be probably the only person I know with a Transformers collection that takes up almost an entire basement. I mean, he has almost everything. It just boggles me. I saw a couple of panoramic pictures that someone took of his shelvings in the basement, and it's just amazing how much stuff he's got for Transformers. So he may be joining me on episode 14, 17, and 19, or 18 and 19. And then Steve, of course, you'll be back for episodes 20 through 24, so.
Yes.
Yes. So let's get into some episodes today.
Alrighty.
I am Vector Sigma. Before Cybertron was, I was. Who reactivates me?
I, Megatron, one of your own creations.
Why have you done this thing?
You must give personalities to the Stunticons. They're cybernetic creations like ourselves. Fill them with hatred for the Autobots and all that the Autobots stand for.
Present them to me. Personality programming completed.
I am Megatron, your leader. Declare yourselves to me. I am Ultramaster. I swear loyalty to you.
I am Dead End. I guess I'll have to do what you say.
I'm Breakdown. I'll obey too.
I am Dragstrip. I live to obey. I'm Wild Rider, and I want to bust something up!
Right here.
What are you doing?
I am a first-generation product of Vector Sigma. We share the same computation matrix. My power supply can merge with it, reactivating it.
Alpha, no!
Have you forgotten that you are my creation prime? You need these planes. You may not get off this planet alive without them. And what of the safety of the people of Earth? Now, let me do what must be done. What happened to him?
He has merged with Vector Sigma.
I am Vector Sigma. Before Cybertron was, I was. Who reactivates me?
I, Optimus Prime, leader of the Autobots.
Why are you here?
To give life to these machines.
He gave himself up just so we could have some jets. That's nuts.
No. One Autobot gave his life so that six could be born. He made a choice. The kind of choice I hope they'll be able to make when the time's right. Vector Sigma, give these machines personality worthy of him who created me. Let them think for themselves, to grow in knowledge and wisdom, and let them always value freedom and life wherever they find it. we welcome you, Aerial Bots.
What's happening, dudes?
Hi. I used to be a courier ship, but now I think I'm Silverbolt.
And I'm Air Raid.
Jeez, what is this place? Who are you guys?
Who are you?
Oh, right. I'm Fireflight.
I'm Skydive.
I'm Slingshot. Used to be a speed shuttle. Now I'm the fastest, smartest, hottest jet you ever saw.
Now let's get back to Earth.
Optimus Prime.
Alpha Trion.
I am now one with Vector Sigma, and I have learned something. The key to Vector Sigma, which Megatron took back to Earth, may doom the entire planet.
But how, Alpha Trion?
On Earth, its energy may have a radically different effect. More I cannot say.
So what are we waiting for?
First up today, we have The Key to Vector Sigma. And according to the little booklet that comes with the DVDs, Megatron wants a Decepticon road force to better combat the Autobots, and so he builds the Stunticons. The Stunticons lack individual personalities, so the Decepticons bring their new sub-team to Cybertron in search of Vector Sigma, the supercomputer that gives all Transformers sentience. To activate Vector Sigma, Megatron must find its key, and only Alpha Trion has it. I should make note that this is Key to Vector Sigma Part 1. I did not say that before reading that little blurb. Let me see here. That's that. Let's see. The Autobots, I've actually made these into bullet points. I actually took the synopsis and broke it down into like one or two line sentences, but I had already written it up. The Autobots are accompanying a convoy of superfuel to protect it from the Decepticons, but that doesn't make any sense. That does not make any. What's there does not make any sense. The Autobots are accompanying a convoy of superfuel to protect it from the Decepticons. But I think it's supposed to be they attack, and the Autobots must evade them. Megatron threatens to blast one of the fuel tankers when Smokescreen comes to the rescue. Megatron's plan is to even the odds on the roads against their foes. The Decepticons steal 5 vehicles, and Megatron has them rebuilt, but he must take them to Cybertron to give them cybernetic personalities. Vector Sigma, the computer that gives all Transformers life, is the only thing that can bring life to Megatron's new car group. He calls them the Stunticons. And I think I have... No, I forget. I'm trying to think if I have the names listed here. I know I do at some point. The Decepticons head to Cybertron to give the Stunticons personalities. The Decepticons arrive at Alpha Trion's base and steal the circuit key to Vector Sigma. This is the first time in the overall arcing storyline has added something to the TF history, I believe, which would be Alpha Trion. I think this is his first. I think this is the one of the first episodes that we see him. Oh no, this is the second episode because we had the one last episode, the search for Alpha Trion. Whoops.
Yes.
The new thing that was added was the Centurion droids, as far as them protecting Vector Sigma, and Megatron realizes he can control the droids with the circuit key because it is a part of Vector Sigma. Megatron sends the droids after the Autobots, which they have arrived on Cybertron to stop the Decepticons. The Stunticons are born: Dragstrip, Dead End, Wild Rider, Motor Master, and Breakdown. The Autobots are still fighting the droids with drone robots now that overpower the droids. The Autobots get to Vector Sigma Chamber. Optimus Prime has a plan to rebuild the shuttle ships that they saw in the hangar into Earth-style jets. Basically, close to the end of the episode, right as it goes into cliffhanger, they had to double back in fighting these droids, and they doubled back into a hangar with a bunch of old Cybertronian shuttle ships, and that's where the idea for the Aerial Bots comes about. Now for our thoughts on this episode. Stop. Where's the stop button? Alrighty. Let's see. In this first part, I thought that the storytelling was excellent, and I'm glad to see that they are bringing more combiner teams into the show. The animation was solid, and I didn't notice too many flubs. There wasn't really anything off-model, or just plain bad. I think the animation for this episode was fairly solid. I think outside of the Constructicons, Devastator, the Aerialbots, Superion are my favorite combiners. The voices that they chose for these guys are just awesome. I'm sure if I had looked them up on IMDb, they'd be people I know.
Probably.
And recognize from other characters, yeah, probably. In the series, there are a few issues that I have with this and part two of the episode. In season three, there are a ton of characters that are introduced, but they never have to go through the process of having Vector Sigma creating cybernetic personalities. Weird, of course. Then again, some of the historical videos that play at the end of the episodes in later seasons say that these characters already existed. And what are your thoughts?
Overall, it's a good episode. It's definitely better than some we reviewed in the last time I was on.
yeah.
But yeah, it was cool to see them actually create some new combiners to battle instead of just using the same old Constructicons and everything else.
Yep. Yep. Alrighty then, on to the next episode.
In his latest attempt to destroy the Autobots, Megatron has created the Stunticons to rule the roads. To give them personalities, Megatron took them to Vector Sigma, the master computer which gives all Transformers life. But now Optimus Prime has a plan of his own.
The Key to Vector Sigma, Part 2, is up next. And according to the little booklet, to help the Autobots create new troops of their own, Alpha Trion merges with Vector Sigma and warns Optimus Prime of the Key's powers if used on Earth. Having returned to Earth, Megatron begins using the Key to transmogrify organic material into inert metal, thus enabling the creation of a new Cybertron. Let's see, where do we start here? As I just said, on Earth, the Stunticons are... the Stunticons break into the rocket fuel base from the first episode, and they steal the super fuel. The humans believe them to be Autobots, though, because they're driving. Actually, that was supposed to be... Wait a second. Oops. That was supposed to be in the first episode, anyway. The Autobots on Cybertron build the Aerialbots. They have Vector Sigma give them personalities. Silverbolt, Skydive, Air Raid, Slingshot, and Fireflight. Optimus learns from Alpha Trion, who has now merged with Vector Sigma, that the Key Megatron stole may doom the planet Earth. Shockwave eavesdrops on this, and he alerts Megatron. The Aerialbots get their first taste of action by outrunning the droids, Cybertronian droids. When the Autobots get back to Earth, Omega Supreme interrupts Optimus by telling him that he's going to explode. This was actually a funny scene. Just the fact of the way that Omega talks, the Bizarro-type talk, and I really thought that was funny. Of course, then he blows all to pieces, and that's not so funny, but yeah.
No.
So Ratchet and the others must repair Omega Supreme. The Autobots arrive at the base where the superfuel was, and the humans attack them. Because they think that, obviously, the cars from before are Autobots, and they're not. And they realize that it's Megatron's new car group, and, yeah. I don't know. Some of the humans in this cartoon are really stupid.
Yeah.
The Aerialbots are very arrogant, especially Slingshot, and this is something that I almost stopped watching these episodes because of this. The Aerialbots, yeah, I know they just got born and built and everything else, but these guys, I think all of them, other than Silverbolt, who eventually becomes the leader, they are just so arrogant. Of course, it takes them a time-traveling trip in a later episode today to realize that they, you know, need to be a little bit more humble. The Autobots meet the Stunticons, and the Aerialbots join the battle. Silverbolt is afraid of heights. He's a shuttle ship. He's supposed to be able to go into outer space. How the hell is he afraid of heights? Megatron calls back. Oh, Megatron actually calls back the Stunticons because he never actually sent them out. But the aerial bots think they beat the Stunticons. Optimus makes Silverbolt the commander of the aerial bots to take his mind off of his fear of heights. The Decepticons are still running tests on the key. Which, eventually, what happens is that Soundwave trips over a rock. He drops the key, and apparently there's a button on one side of the key that you can press. That activates the energy, and Megatron realizes that it turns everything into metal. Which goes back to the whole transorganic thing. So they were doing transorganic stuff even in G1, which is surprising. The Autobots arrive where the Decepticons are, and a battle between the Autobots and Stunticons begins. We find out that the Stunticons can merge into Menasor. The Aerial Bots arrive and join the battle. After the Stunticons merge, Optimus tells the Aerial Bots to merge into Superion. The two giant robots have a battle, and Omega Supreme finally shows up just in time to save Superion. Silverbolt overcomes his fear of heights and goes after Megatron, who still has the key. Silverbolt destroys the key, and Slingshot saves him, ending this episode. Now for our thoughts on this episode. The one thing that really pissed me off, and I mentioned this in the little synopsis thing in the second part, of Key to Vector Sigma. After the Aerial Bots are born and everything, they're nothing but ingrates at first. I mean, after a while, they learn, though, and they'll learn in future episodes that we'll be talking about today. I don't really have a lot of notes on this second part. All in all, I liked it. The animation, as I've stated in past podcast episodes, it's getting better and better as time goes on. Also, I think the cartoons really have held up over time. What about your thoughts on this one?
This one, I'd have to say, is pretty good, considering they use... This is the first time you see the Key to Vector Sigma in them. Well, I mean, you see it in the last part of the episode, but you see it in this one, too. And them transforming organic matter into technomatter, which later becomes a plot point in Beast Machines.
Yeah.
Again, calling back from this very episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, overall, I mean, if I had to rate it, I mean, if I was actually doing a rating scale, I would probably rate the overall both parts, I would probably rate it an 8 out of 10. It does have its moments where it's like, oh, God, no, they didn't do that. So let's see here. All right. And that... Oh, crap. Anyway.
So you threw the prince out so you and Megatron could rule the world together. I think we ought to...
Maybe we should let Prince Jamal deal with him.
Yeah, if we can find him, which may not be so easy.
And then again, it might be easier than you think.
Now what do you know about Prince Jamal? Hassan?
I can't see. The brat in the bazaar! It was...
Me, Prince Jamal. After you drove me from the palace, that was my disguise. I didn't know what you were up to, but thanks to my friend Slingshot and the rest of... Slingshot, what's the matter?
I just remembered your car. Are you gonna want it back?
My friend, I thought you knew. My hobby's rebuilding old junkers.
Oh, great. 'Cause I really like it. Hey, did you just call me a junker?
Oh, don't worry, Slingshot. No matter what you're made of, you'll always be a Rolls Royce to me.
Up next is Aerial Assault, and I apologize on the end of the last clip there because my brain just went dead. So we have Aerial Assault. We start this episode off in a Middle Eastern bazaar where a young boy is trying to steal a tire. There are men everywhere with beat-up cars that they are trying to fix. One of the men catch the boy, but the youngster gets away. The aerial bots are flying over the area, and they are trying to find out why there have been so many planes disappearing in the area. They get a distress call from a canyon up ahead, but it's an ambush. The Combaticons are waiting for the aerial bots, and a battle begins. I will most likely have something to say about the Combaticons being in this episode at the end when we do our thoughts, because, yeah, they should not even be in this episode, seeing as how they haven't even been built yet by Starscream. yeah, talk about an out-of-order episode or something or other. The rest of the Autobots arrive just in time with Optimus Prime to help out the aerial bots. Slingshot has gotten trapped in a cave where he crash-landed. The Combaticons retreat, and the other Autobots help get Slingshot out of the cave. After they get Slingshot out of the cave, is what it's supposed to say. It doesn't say that. The Autobots head for a nearby hangar to repair Slingshot. Skydive says that the planes have been disappearing from the base... Their base in... Shit, what the hell was I doing when I wrote this? Skydive basically says that the planes have been disappearing from the military base that they're at as well. He wants to go undercover as a regular jet to see what he can find out. Silverbolt says that it's a good idea, and Slingshot joins him as well. So the plane nappers arrive and take Skydive and Slingshot apart with the rest of the planes. Slingshot tries to contact Silverbolt, but his radio transmitter is disabled too. The young man that got thrown out of the bazaar earlier is sleeping under a pile of old clothing when he awakens to the thieves moving planes and cars around. He sees a worker using a blowtorch and wants to help, but the same guy that caught him before throws the boy into a pile of tires. The young man follows them because he thinks that there is a big secret in the laundry truck. We see Swindle transform and the caravan of vehicles drives off. The young man gets on his little motorcycle scooter thing and follows them. He gets right behind the laundry truck and jimmies the lock, and then he guns his bike to crash into the back of the truck. He finds Skydive and Slingshot in the back. Well, parts of them anyways. The young man tells them that he isn't a plane thief and that he wants to help them stop Allie, who is the guy that told him to go away earlier. We find out the young man's name is Hassan at the palace where the Decepticons and Allie have displaced the prince, so that they can manufacture plane drones. Blastoff asks where the other two planes are, and he finds Skydive and Slingshot in the laundry truck. But Slingshot short-circuits himself out, because obviously if Blastoff put enough of Slingshot or Skydive together, they would realize that it's an Autobot jet. This annoys Blastoff, and he tells the humans to junk them. Skydive and Slingshot are put back together with a few missing parts. Skydive asks Hassan if he shows him his weapons console, that he could find Slingshot one just like it. Hassan sneaks aboard the Griffin airship that Megatron has and attempts to find Slingshot a suitable weapons console. Meanwhile, the other aerial bots arrive and the Decepticons start fighting them with the drone army they've created, as well as the fully operational Griffin flagship that Megatron has built. The evil leader has Soundwave fire the Griffin at the aerial bots. Even though Slingshot has no weapons, he feels he must do something to stop the Combaticons. Again, Combaticons. What the fuck? Slingshot eventually gets the weapons module he needs. The other aerial bots show up, and they unite into Superion and fight with the Combaticons' unified form of Bruticus. God, I can't talk this morning. The aerial bots defeat the Combaticons, the Decepticons, and back at the palace, the Autobots find out that Hassan is actually Prince Jamal. Slingshot is worried that the prince wants his Rolls-Royce grill back, but the royalty states that his hobby is fixing old junkers. The episode ends with Slingshot saying, "Hey, did you just call me a junker?" Now for our thoughts on this episode. As I said before in the little synopsis thing, the biggest problem with this episode is the fact that the fucking Combaticons are in it. I mean, what the hell? What the hell were they thinking?
Who knows?
Oh my god. How can... That's like... I don't even know what it's like. It pisses me off to the point where it makes me speechless, and that is a very rare thing.
I think this episode is out of order, anyhow.
Yeah, it's possible, but then again, when we get to Wardon, which is next, it brings back some mentions of this episode. I think it maybe is the fact that they jumped the gun on the Combaticons and they didn't realize the story of, Starscream's brigade and the Revenge of Bruticus. But anyway, I don't know. Let's see. I've already said they haven't even been built as far as the episode number goes. Other than that, I really don't. The Aerial Bots, again, are very much jerks throughout this entire episode. Slingshot has an attitude much like Cliffjumper did. Which I should mention, even though this is season 2 still, I haven't seen Cliffjumper in almost any episode that I've watched lately of season 2. He's just not there.
That could have something to do with him and the writers getting in an argument, too.
Yeah, that could be it. So what are your thoughts on this one?
It's an okay episode. It's not one that I'd sit there and watch over and over, but it's... And it's pretty retarded how the two aerial bots let themselves get all torn to pieces and thrown back together.
Yeah,
which is kind of retarded.
That was pretty stupid.
I mean, at that point where they started taking them, you know, trying to disassemble them, they should have just transformed and said, all right, knock it off. But, of course, there's got to be some down point.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. On to the next episode.
That's what you think, Megatron!
The Autobots!
Take 'em!
Only one way to stop that machine before it takes the aerial bots back to the beginning of time, and that's to destroy it! So much for those buzzards. Yes, but now we've got real trouble. The aerial bots are trapped somewhere in the distant past of Cybertron.
How far in the past?
Judging by these coordinates, I'd say 9 million years.
Isn't there some way we can get the aerial bots out of the past?
Our only hope is to repair these time controls. How about it, Wheeljack?
There might be some spare parts in this dump somewhere. I suppose it can be done.
Then let's do it.
The aerial bots 9 million years in the past. Wow.
That was before the war. They must be somewhere in the golden age of Cybertron.
You guys, are you here to help?
Not exactly.
Never seen you guys around before. I'm Orion Pax.
I'm Silverbolt.
And I'm Slingshot.
I'm Fireflight. And that's Air Raid and Skydive. What do you do here?
Oh, we unload the energy shipments from the power plant upriver.
Hello there! I'm Megatron. What's your name?
Orion. Orion Pax. It's really a thrill to meet you, sir.
That was Megatron, flying over the energy docks. I'm sure of it.
So what's the big deal?
Wow. Are all those yours?
Yes! You see, I've been looking for a place where I could store my wares. I was hoping this hangar might be available.
Hey, who's that with Orion?
Oh, wow, it's one of those flying robots.
What do you store here? Raw materials or energy?
Oh, we only store energy here.
That's just what I wanted to hear. Decepticons, attack!
You can't do
this?
Out of my way, Swall!
Ow! Leave him alone!
Ariel, no!
Ah! You monster!
Deactivate the rest of them permanently! Then take the fuel!
If that young robot needs repairs, I suggest you take him to the next city.
Oh, you gotta help.
Take a look inside. They've been pouring in since this morning. I had been developing a way to rebuild our robots to fight the Decepticons, but now...
Please, just take a look at him.
I do detect a strong spirit within him. I tell you what. I'm going to attempt to rebuild him entirely.
All right!
He's not the only one. There are others back at the hangar. His girlfriend, Ariel.
Please, one at a time. Perhaps I can help her, too, if my plans work.
How much longer are we going to have to wait?
Just cool out. He'll tell us when he's done.
Well, it's finished. You may not recognize him. He is no longer Orion Pax. Now he is the first of our new defenders, Optimus Prime.
I was wrong, my friends. I admired Megatron merely because he was powerful. I failed to see how he used that power.
It's okay. We've all made the same mistake.
No.
These energy packs should give Omega Supreme enough power to take us home.
Hey, what happened to you guys in the past, anyway?
Not much. We learned a few things about Megatron. And about you, Optimus Prime. Or, should I say, Orion Pax?
You? So you five were the ones who saved me.
Would somebody tell me what in blazes this is all about?
Ask Optimus Prime. He knows.
All right. Spill it before I go crazy.
Well, it all began about 9 million years ago.
Up next is War Dawn. And according to the little booklet, War Dawn, thinking Megatron's evil nature is exaggerated, the Aerobots fall into a trap set by the Decepticon leader. He transports them back in time, where they meet an idealistic young Autobot named Orion Pax, and witness Megatron's cruelty firsthand. We start this episode off, as I said, with the Aerobots in pursuit of Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp. Which I think this is the... I could be wrong, but this is the first episode of the second season that all three Seekers have been together. Normally you'd see either Skywarp or Thundercracker, Starscream and Thundercracker, or, you know, vice versa. I think this was the first episode I've seen all three of them together again. They have captured a few humans. A great aerial battle begins, but the aerial bots can no longer pursue the Decepticons once Starscream dumps the chumps, as he says, in midair. So the aerial bots must rescue them. Back at the Autobot base, the aerial bots are shooting off at the mouth about how much they admire the Decepticon jets. Ironhide goes off on them, but Optimus Prime intervenes because the aerial bots were only built a few weeks ago. And they have not been fighting the Decepticons as long as the other Autobots have. Teletran 1 interrupts Optimus Prime, alerting them to a high concentration energy readings from Cybertron. On Cybertron, the Decepticons They're repairing themselves and talking about how badly the aerial bots beat them. When Megatron comes in and tells them that unless the aerial bots are destroyed, his supremacy of the skies is threatened. Soundwave radios Megatron to tell him that the Autobots have departed for Cybertron. The leader realizes that they have detected the energy signature of Shockwave's work on the Chronosphere. Starscream asks Megatron what the Chronosphere is, and the leader explains that it is a time machine that he had planned to use to travel to the area before the war and steal all the energy that the Decepticons need. However, now it will make an excellent trap for the aerial bots. The Autobots arrive on Cybertron, and Prime tells Omega Supreme to shut himself down, and they'll try to scrounge up some energy for him. Apparently, Omega can't make it between Earth and Cybertron. And that's another thing that I don't understand. Like, in... The Ultimate Doom in Season 1, when Megatron brings Cybertron into Earth's orbit, and then the Autobots eventually knock it out of Earth's orbit. How far away did they knock it out? Obviously, it would still... First of all, it would screw up the entire solar system of our little galaxy here, if it was anywhere near it. But... I mean, how far away would it exactly be if the trip is so long and Omega just dies after one way? I don't know. That's just weird. The aerial bots fly off with the Autobots when Starscream and the other jets attack them. Slingshot transforms and tells them that they don't want to fight. They just want to talk. Starscream is skeptical of this, but the jets land and talk with the aerial bots. All but Silverbolt go with Starscream and the others. The Decepticons lie to the aerial bots, obviously, and trick them into standing where the chronosphere is. Silverbolt calls Optimus Prime and informs him of this. Prime bets that it's a trap. When Silverbolt arrives to warn the others, they are all sent back through time. Megatron's plan is to send them to the beginning of time, but Optimus Prime and the other Autobots arrive just in time to destroy the chronosphere. After Optimus Prime in the present... Oh, crap. That sucked. I don't know if the mute caught that. Hopefully it did. Let's see. After Optimus Prime in the present time destroys the time machine, Megatron and the other Decepticons retreat, which leaves the aerial bots somewhere 9 million years in the past before the Great War. The aerial bots realize that Megatron is truly evil after they meet Orion Pax and his friends. These robots are attacked and destroyed by Megatron and the other Decepticons. The other aerial bots take Orion and his friends to a mechanic shop, and the guy says that he will rebuild Orion entirely. They may not know who he is at this point, that he is part of the new Defenders of Cybertron called Optimus Prime. So we actually get the origin of Optimus Prime. Cool. Back at the present, the Decepticons attack and try to get the time machine back from the Autobots. Wheeljack has repaired it and brings the aerial bots back just in time before the energy stockpiles in the warehouse explode. The aerial bots are brought back to the present just in time to foil the Decepticons' plans. The episode ends with them telling Optimus about meeting someone called Orion Pax. Ratchet wants to know what it's all about, and the episode closes with Optimus saying, "It all began about 9 million years ago, and Ratchet goes, "Oh, it's one of those long stories." Thus ending this episode. Now for our thoughts on this episode. This was one of the best episodes of Season 2. And I have that written on my notes in like 16 exclamation points. I loved seeing the history of Optimus Prime and even Megatron before the war. We get to see that regardless of either having or not having... Damn it. Either having or not having a war, just how evil and diabolical Megatron really was. The animation was excellent in this episode, and it's continually getting better as the season progresses. However, there are some glitches, like when the aerial bots fire on the Decepticon jets, their laser fire is purple, which it shouldn't be. All in all, I really love this episode. Maybe now the aerial bots won't be such insolent idiots anymore. What about you?
Well, for me, I'd have to say this is one of my favorite episodes of this season. Just because the aerial bots actually go back in time and see the creation of Optimus Prime from Orion Pax and see where Alita 1 was created. Although it doesn't show who Dion turns into, I'm either leaning towards Ultra Magnus or Ironhide, one of the two, but...
Oh, was that one of Orion's... one of his friends. Yeah. It's been a while. I didn't watch the episode before we recorded today, so...
I personally think that it's Ironhide, but that's just me. But yeah, it was cool to see how Megatron was causing problems even before Prime was created, and then Prime was created, and that's when it started throwing problems against Megatron.
Yep. And I like, actually, how humble Prime is at first. Because as soon as after he's created, he apologizes to the Aerobots. He says, "I'm sorry, my friends. I was blinded by Megatron's power and you know, wanting to get to know him." Actually, it's funny. I just realized that one of my animation cells that I have framed in the other room is Orion Pax. You see him in, like when you look right at the picture on the left, but on the right is a gray robot shaking his hand with a black hand, and I realize, oh wait, that's when he first met Megatron. So that's pretty cool. I'm really, with going back and seeing some of these, I'm really noticing the characters, other than the obvious Starscream, Galvatron, and Cup, I'm really noticing who they actually put in the animation cells that they included with these. So that's it for our thoughts.
Welcome to Paris, where the most unusual race in motor history is about to begin. The Europa 2000. A donor has offered $20 million for charity if the world's finest drivers will race from Paris, France, all the way to Istanbul in Turkey. In addition, there's a cool million in store for the winning driver. In a last-minute decision, it has been announced that those amazing machines, the Autobots, will also be participating in the race.
Charities will get an extra $1 million if we win.
Just a minute. I object. These Autobots have computer brains. They're robots, not regulation cars.
Now, Oogie, remember, this is for charity.
There's only one charity I care about. Me. I want that $1 million.
Who is that?
That's Augie Kinney, the top driver in the U.S.
The top mouth?
And he's also the man Prime sent us to protect. Check out his rig.
Where'd he get that thing, Mars?
Nah, it was custom built for him by Simultech Industries, that science firm. Technology so advanced, Prime's afraid it might attract Megatron's attention.
And finally today we have Trans-Europe Express. And according to the little booklet, Megatron is searching for the weather-controlling Pearl of Bahudin. Autobot and human alike are competing in an international car race for charity. Megatron needs a particular alloy to contain the pearl. The alloy was used to create one of the cars in the race. Megatron sends the Stunticons to retrieve it. Let's see, where do we start? This episode was basically the European version of the Autobot Run. I don't know if you remember that episode, Steve. The Autobot Run was basically, like I said, an American version of this. It was also another charity race Chip Chase had suggested to Optimus Prime, and that's basically all that this is. The race is for charity, but the Decepticons have other plans. They are looking for the Pearl of Bahudin, whatever the fuck that is. Because at first, we don't actually know. It just says that it's some mystical thing, and it turns out to be something else at the end. We learn that it is a Cybertronian artifact that Megatron wants. The Decepticons also need the engine from one of the race car drivers, Augie Kinney. He is the top U.S. driver in the race. And he is very self-centered. I mean, this guy is like, ugh. Kinney pulls all kinds of bad maneuvers and cuts off drivers throughout the race. Then Megatron, anticipating the Autobots' involvement in the race, has the Stunticons go after them. Dead End takes out Sunstreaker and Sideswipe, which I think this is the first episode we actually see Sunstreaker and Sideswipe in from Season 2. I could be wrong, but this is the first episode we see them together. Motormaster takes out Wheeljack, Wild Rider takes out Smokescreen, Blue Streak gets injured by a Wild Rider as well, but he gets away. Bumblebee and Trax figure out that the Stunticons have taken out the other Autobots, and they hide from the Decepticon Combiner Team. They also realize that the Stunticons are after Augie's car, and there are only three Autobots left to win the race and stop the Decepticons. Motormaster calls into Megatron, telling him that the status of the Autobots. The leader tells the Stunticons to forget about the Autobots and get Augie's car. The Stunticons stop Kane and steal his car. Blue Streak is driving along the race path and sees Augie. The American driver gets into the Autobot and drives away. They head towards the finish line, and it's a three-way tie between Trax, Bumblebee, and Blue Streak. With Augie driving Blue Streak. Just a little note on Augie. This guy is like... I'm trying to think who I can compare him to. A friend of mine met Randy Quaid once, and she said that Randy Quaid wanted nothing to do with any of the fans that were at a little thing that she had went to. And she said he was really, you know, like he had something up his ass. And that's basically what Augie is. He is basically out to, just for himself, could give a shit less about anybody else. And, yeah, they made it really easy to hate that character. they don't actually stop for anything and head to where the Decepticons have dug up the Pearl. The Stunticons attack the Autobots, and Bumblebee suggests that they hit them in their weak spot, to which Trax replies that they have none. Then Bumblebee goes after the Pearl, and he gets it away from Megatron. Bumblebee actually threatens to open the Pearl all the way if Megatron doesn't clear out. The Decepticon leader has the Stunticons merge into Menasor to stop the Autobots while the full power of the Pearl has been unleashed. And I, on a little side note, I took a screenshot of when Bumblebee gets the Pearl from Megatron. He actually jumps up into Megatron's hand and grabs it. You can actually see, I put it on the forums, you can actually see the amazing size difference between Bumblebee and Megatron. I mean, Bumblebee stands right inside his hand. Let's see. The Decepticons leave Menasor to deal with the Autobots. Augie gets in his car and seemingly runs away, but he heads to the top of the cliff and drives his car into Menasor's head, defeating the giant Decepticon. What the hell? Anyway, that makes no sense. Bumblebee must stop the Pearl, so he lets the tornado carry him up and finds the Pearl and blasts it, thus stopping the torrential storms that the Pearl had created, saving the day. The episode ends with Augie giving the Autobots the golden shell that the Pearl was held in, and the raceway announcer is still there awaiting an interview with the winners as we fade to black. Before we stop this little piece, before we go on to our thoughts, the raceway announcer was so funny because he's like, oh, well, the race is over and the Autobots win, and, you know, we'll stay here and wait till, you know, they come back, because they never came back. And it was just funny because he ended up being the only one there at the end of the episode. So, yep, that's it for this episode. Now for our thoughts on this episode. I have one note, and then you can say what you got to say. As I said in the beginning of the synopsis, this was basically a European version of the Autobot Run. Optimus Prime is mentioned in the episode, but does not appear. I really don't have an opinion on this episode either way. It's just kind of there. What about you?
I don't have much of an opinion. Other than just some notes that I found online about this episode.
What'd you find?
The fact that Sideswipe and Sunstreaker mistake the Stunticons for normal race cars despite the giant Decepticon symbols on their hoods.
Yeah.
The map of Europe used to show the races is off. It shows France basically dominating Poland, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Germany. And then Blue Streak is mistakenly drawn as Prowl for a few shots during the battle.
Yeah, I do remember seeing an animation difference in that. That was kind of weird.
And then the when the Nemesis crashed, a bunch of dangerous materials flung out of it, such as the Insecticons, Heart of Cybertron, and the Pearl.
Oh, you're talking about the ship.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I thought you were talking about something else.
No, but I didn't care for this episode.
Yeah, I didn't either. Like I said, it was just another way for them to do another... I mean, Cherry is all... You know, that's all good that they did that, but... You know, and I understand that the Autobots can only do so much, obviously, since they're cars and trucks. But, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It was basically a very subpar type of episode. So I think we are going to end our thoughts on this one.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Coming soon from PredaconEmpire.com, the M-Wire Movies Week in Review. Steve / Megatron and I, Michael Blanchard, will sit down every week to review one movie that either one of us have picked. It is a genre-spanning movie review podcast that will be weekly. Look for it on PredaconEmpire.com and iTunes coming soon.
Are you a fan of Transformers?
Yes.
Then be sure to visit PredaconEmpire.com, your resource for Transformers media and more. Also, be sure to check out our podcast, All Things Transformers and the TFG1 Podcast. I'm Steve / Megatron, inviting you to come join the fun on the shows and the forums. So be sure to visit PredaconEmpire.com for all your Transformers needs. Enter now.
We now return to the Transformers.
Well, that's all for this episode of the TFG1 Podcast. Join me next time when I will have a special guest host, one of my friends from Twitter, Pecan CT Michael. Hopefully we can get that recorded eventually, sometime this week or next, where we will be reviewing the final 5 episodes from Transformers Generation 1 Season 2, those being Cosmic Rust, Starscream's Brigade, The Revenge of Bruticus, Masquerade, and Bot. Thank you for joining us on the TFG1 Podcast. There are 4 ways to get in touch with me or leave feedback for the podcast. The first is that you can visit the PredaconEmpire.com forums and get all your Transformers discussion topics there. The second is you can follow both me and Steve on Twitter. Our names are TFG1 Podcast and SCP21. The third is you can visit the Earth2.net forums. I have a thread over there for the podcast under the banter section. And the fourth is the email address, which is TFG1Podcast. For now, I am Michael Blanchard, saying in the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out. Oh, yeah. Who are you again?
Steve / Megatron of All Things Transformers.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Good night, everybody, and thank you for listening. Until next time.